Hello, everybody. Welcome to the JK Show.
What up?
This is our new plugs for the month of July. You can call us at 408-228-4911.
408-BATTICS-4911. That's not it.
That's all right. Call us at that number. You can send us an email to podcast@justincomedy.com. My plugs are, let's see, July 2nd. I should have these up. July 1st through July 5th, I'm at the Ontario Improv with Darren Carter.
Not Canada.
July 8th through July 12th, I'm at Laughs Unlimited with Kira Sultanovich. So if you are in NorCal, that is a great show to check out. And that's all I have for the month of July.
And if you want to hang out with me, I'll be at El Porto Beach in Manhattan Beach on Saturday, July 11th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Sweet. Give me an email if you want to build sandcastles and bury me in the sand.
Give you an email?
Yeah, just give it to me.
Like W an email address.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great.
All right, enjoy
Kevin
the show.
Kevin at yoururl.com.
Hey, hey, hey. Yo, yo, yo. Everybody listen to the JK Show. It's very funny. I guarantee you're gonna laugh until you pee. There's Justin Warsham and Kevin Miller. These guys are bona fide lady killers. But the good kind of lady killers, not the kind that actually kill ladies.
That may or may not be true.
It's the JK Show.
Did you just clarify that we are alleged murderers?
I said it may or may not be true. It is not confirmed nor unconfirmed.
I'm going to go out on a limb and say that I've never killed a lady.
I can neither confirm nor deny that.
I've killed many a whore, but never an actual lady.
And who defines them as a whore? Who defines them as whores?
The little oatmeal cookie in my head that tells me whether or not they're good or not. We have oatmeal cookies sitting on my table.
That's the best you could do.
I can't do random like you can. I don't have that suit.
Welcome to the JK Show. I'm talking to Jay.
Thank you.
His name is Justin Warsham.
Who am I talking? Kevin Miller. I'm talking to Kevin Miller. And our guest.
Yes.
Jenny Tabor.
Yeah.
Jenny Tabor.
Another J. It's the double JK show today.
Oh, J squared.
J2K. Whoa.
Oh.
Be careful. Make sure you get lots of water for J2K.
That reminds me of a hilarious story.
I'm ready.
When my mother was preparing for Y2K, and she said, oh, guys, we have to be ready for KY.
So oh.
I think that's the jelly.
My mom bought me this little Y2K bug.
Right.
It was an actual, like, stuffed animal kind of bug. It was like a little alien. It said Y2K on it. Like, Y2K, celebrate, and then nothing happened.
And then nothing happened.
So in your mom's opinion, it was a celebration of all of technology.
Like,
falling?
I'll get you a toy in celebration of Y2K.
Now, it was pre-Y2K, not after it didn't happen.
Oh, I hope so. I don't remember.
Post-Y2K, that stuff was very inexpensive. You can get it on discount.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking of.
Our
good friend Ron Hemke from Oasis, he talks about how we did the show about Newton's Three Laws of Motion, toured around to junior highs and everything. And we always gave away T-shirts, and his joke was always that in 10 years, you're going to be able to see those T-shirts on CNN on some, like, kid from Africa. Like, because they just donate a bunch, like, you know, like the team that doesn't win the Super Bowl, how they have all those hats and shirts?
Oh, is that what they do with them?
Yeah, they donate them.
I wondered if they just destroyed them.
No, they donate them to a third world country, so it's like, I'm trying to remember. That's his joke, is that, you know, you can watch TV, and you'll see that
like alternate realities.
Yeah.
Oh, like the Patriots.
So the Patriots are just lost the Super Bowl.
Four-time winners.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, like, they lost the Super Bowl, so then they would be, like,
you know,
everybody has
I would pay a slave kid in Africa their lifetime wages
just to have
one of those hats.
I don't think, when you say a slave kid, I don't think slaves make wages.
Well, my loophole has been exposed.
I had no idea. I
take it back.
I apologize in advance for ruining your chances to
explore. I feel very insensitive because I'm planning on going on an outreach mission trip to India, so at least I didn't choose India.
Yeah, Africa. That's good. Yeah.
They're not all slave kids there. They're probably kings.
King of the Patriots, four-time winning of the Super Bowl.
If you have a hat, you're a king.
if your hat is correct.
Yeah.
Like have a Pittsburgh Steelers hat, then you are the king. That's
I guess they'd be five-time winners, right?
Yeah.
Five-time winners. I'm messing that up.
I don't know.
They won three times with what's-his-face.
No, but the Patriots didn't lose this last Super Bowl.
They lost 2 years ago when I stopped watching football. You don't remember when we watched it?
No.
And the J Giants
beat
them.
We watched the Super Bowl this last year.
No, 2 years ago when the Giants beat the Patriots down to the wire.
Yeah.
Remember when they came?
I remember that. Yeah.
I stopped watching football after that.
Altogether?
I did not watch it at all last year. Except for the Super Bowl. I don't even remember who was in the Super Bowl.
It was the Pittsburgh Steelers.
And the Arizona...
Cardinals, you're right.
What a boring
game. I remember because they were such boring teams.
Yeah, boring.
Sorry, Arizona boring and Pittsburgh.
I don't think we have any listeners from there. I don't think so. If we do, then they need to spice up their team.
Both of which start... Both of those teams both started in L.A. No? Not going to believe that?
There we go.
It seems quiet to me.
It is quiet. Yeah, right.
Here's what I think it's the music because I'm going to turn it up. So let's try that. That's much better, right?
That's good. You know, it's funny because you actually stopped the show by playing the stop the show sound effect. Better.
We'll just cut that middle part out.
Everything we just said was hilarious. Good edit there, Justin.
Yay. Oh, that's the wrong one. That's almost a funny sound effect in its own right. Wrong.
Very wrong. Stop pressing this key.
This is wrong. I wanted to know where did it go. Oh, I put it there.
Yay.
Now we're back.
I love that one. It means everything's clean.
Yeah. Oh, it does. Yeah.
Spick and span.
We wipe it clean. That's what happens. Whenever we're done with the story, I get speaking of which,
that would
I have.
Be great. If we knew that.
I'm just spitballing here, so if anybody has anything they want to say, jump
I
in.
I love this idea. You moved him around, didn't you?
We have. I went to visit friends this last week. I was up at Fairfield. Went to a baby shower
Canada?
For Adriana and Nick Ganser. They listen on their commute. Although now they have a baby, so I don't know.
I thought you were about to list a station ID for the local area in Fairfield. They listen on KCFAR.
They listen to B93.1, playing all your favorite hits from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. But in the morning, you're rocking the JK show, but only for an hour and a half. They replay the show four times to fill the morning show slot.
I wish that some station would only play like 70s and 90s. We don't play any of that 80s crap.
And we're better than that. Not when music took a dip.
Why would you cut out a whole decade?
Because it's crap. That's why.
I wouldn't listen. I love the 80s.
Yeah. So you want the other station.
I would want the all 80s.
You want the 60s 80s. And 80s.
All the time.
Why is this not happening?
That's what you do.
Don't you remember?
You do an odd jack, right?
Yeah.
And then you do an even jack. So you get on the even jack, 60s, you play 80s. All the hits from the 40s, 60s, and 80s.
Oh, the 40s and the 80s. That's an interesting combo. And this decade. Whatever it is.
And the aughts.
And I wish it was going to be called the aughts.
What's it going to be called?
They're going to call it the thousands. Because next year, we'll start
saying
2010.
The O's. Mark my,
yeah. But see, no one called it the O's. We'll say, remember back in the 2000s?
Maybe it'll catch on.
Start now. Y'all call it the O's.
I'm sorry I was distracted. I didn't mean to. I just realized I'm wearing two different kinds of socks.
Wow, that is. Where's that?
May the force be with you.
That? Or that? It's H. H for halt.
Oh, smart. Halt. That's good.
That's how I do it.
Anyway, why is Jenny on the show? let's talk to Jenny.
Why is Jenny on the show?
Well, hold on. Maybe
she
Jenny
just came in here and ate some pizza and sat in front of a microphone.
Found out that I wasn't circumcised. It's been a very exciting pre-show.
I've learned a lot tonight.
Yeah. More than most people would like to.
We should record the pre-show.
Nah.
It's the warm-up act.
And then
for us.
you offer to prove it. Pull down your pants and prove it.
Yeah, because Jenny had
claimed... Touch the Muppet Baby.
Jenny had claimed that she had never seen an uncircumcised penis,
right.
And so I immediately stood up and began to unzip my fly, and then I unfurled my penis.
In front of
my wife and baby. And
me.
The unfortunate part was that a piece of it did land in Kevin's pizza, and I am still apologizing.
That really happened because I was out of the room.
Jenny's here because she's a good friend of mine from Second City. We were in the Welsh Poet Society. Another member also on the show, Ricky Kent.
Ricky Kent.
And also Cunthia Shitworth also was a member of the...
I did Google Cunthia
Shitworth. Right? And it came up.
Did you mean Cynthia Whitworth?
That was
amazing.
The funniest moment. That was like a magic trick that you made the Google do.
Yeah, that was great. That was so awesome. But what I was saying, and we're just going to bring back, is that I have notes from some friends of mine that what they did was Adriana and Nick listen to the show, and Nick says he loves the show. He's a big fan of the show. He says that we should call the show Sidetracked because we do change subjects often and we don't finish stories.
Didn't somebody else come up with that idea?
Yeah, Natalie did,
right,
as we learned. Because I said, I like that idea. I like that name. And then he goes, well, Natalie came up with it, and then you guys shit all over it. So anyway, the reason I was bringing this up is that I'm going to try to make an effort for. Here's what I explained to him. I said, I don't know without a shadow of a doubt.
You're doing it on purpose.
Yes, I am.
He's closing his eyes every time I
Kevin's
take a picture.
Kevin's trying to take our pictures that show up. And
I got it. Oh, that's the winner.
Did you get it on the way to close?
No, you're no, staring off.
Here's what I tried to do. I tried to fake you out by opening wide.
Yeah.
I did a facial juke move.
Well, I caught you. Mid juke. So that's the one that's going on the podcast. That's great.
So again, staying on track is that he said that thing is I said sometimes
that's convenient. It's not you. No, it's the neighbor. Can they hear that?
I hope so. Otherwise, their car.
He does not care. I think he's actually breaking into that car.
That'd be hilarious. What if we that would be no help in a court of law because we have no video.
We heard the alarm go off.
Your Honor, I would like to exhibit. I'm a horrible lawyer.
Please don't exhibit yourself. I heard about you unfurling.
I would like to prove that I am uncircumcised, Your Honor. But before I do that, I would like to enlist Exhibit E to the evidence file.
Who is this?
An audio podcast.
This is a traffic court.
Your Honor, I appreciate you not interrupting me, Your Honor.
Okay.
Do you guys do that on the show? Like, do visual jokes and then, like, oh my God, Justin's penis is still in the pizza.
We will now.
We've done a couple radio theater, but as
we did a scene once. Yeah.
Making reference to visual things, when you say you guys, really, you're mispronouncing Justin. Mm-hmm. I do that. Okay. I do that a lot, and Kevin goes, by this. What do you mean?
Yeah.
And I get angry at him.
Do you get angry? You always thank me.
In an instant, I do afterwards. Because in the instant, I'm in the middle of telling the story. And then you go, by this, what do you mean? I'm like I want to look at him like, really, jackass? You don't know what I'm talking about.
Because you point to yourself or point to something on your body.
I know
now.
But it's in that moment, I get angry at you. I go, really? I'm right. Oh, he's stuck because we're only in audio. Okay. Thank you. I'm an idiot.
That's why we make a good team. Killing Angel.
Yeah.
Yay.
So he said that we don't stay on track.
Nice comeback.
I would like to be on the record. That's your official sound.
I love that one.
Regret everything.
Sorry, that was
very loud.
I gotta fix that one. Let's not play
that. Take that one off the list.
Yeah.
I regret everything.
Is that all okay?
That was great.
Touch. I'm sure there's a cleaner one.
Touch the Muppet Baby.
Can I give you a better one right now? You can replace it.
Maybe you have to. Why put it in the middle of an episode?
I regret everything. There. Now it's done. So you don't have to worry about it.
You got
to
give me a second after.
Okay,
you think I'm that good?
Okay. Can you count me in?
So anyway, about staying on top.
I regret everything.
Perfect. There we
go. That's good. Just use that.
All right. You want to do one real quick? Go ahead.
I regret everything.
Perfect.
Saying touch.
I wasn't saying that.
I wasn't talking to you. No one knew that. I just looked at you.
So
look at me accusingly, may I say, for the radio listeners.
Now they know.
Yes.
Now it's all gone. So he said that I said, well, here's what I think is happening when we don't stay on topic.
Yeah.
I think that it's in our heads. We know where the story is going.
Right.
And we see a new thing that is more interesting.
Yep.
I go, so.
Because a lot of our stories we know.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we ever surprise each other.
I would venture to guess all of our stories we know.
No, I mean, if you're telling me a story, I pretty much already know it.
Oh, okay.
You know what I mean?
Get it.
I thought Jenny was just giving me a little lovely touch on the behind.
Rocky's back from his grandparents' house, and he's here to say hello underneath the table. And Kevin was facing towards me, and Rocky gave him a little sniff, I guess, in the groin, and he thought Jenny was getting friendly.
I thought this whole podcast was about to change. Everything was getting weird.
Okay, Rocky, go. Natalie is in the middle of trying to feed a baby, so get on your bed, dummy.
That's a euphemism.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? I don't know. Rocky.
Breastfeeding.
What, really? Do I have to stop the show and commit?
You know, he doesn't understand you when you threaten him.
Why is he leaving then?
You win.
He just started licking and sniffing me and wouldn't stop.
He loves you almost as much as my son does.
Yeah. He was eye locked on me. What did you do? Did you slip him some martini or?
Oh, I didn't want to say. A little roofie.
Little baby roofie.
So then the other thing was that Jeremy Schutz, big fan, you know, fan of the show, he said that sometimes when we play the sound effects, it overloads his speaker.
Mm.
I think he might be talking about the robot, I Regret Everything, because everything else seems kind of on the low side.
So.
But
if
he also admitted that he has one.
It would probably help
that. He did have that. Screw you, Joseph Parkman.
You remembered his name.
I did. He was a big basketball player.
He's a horn guy.
But here's the issue, Joseph Barkley. I hope you're listening right now. Is that if I get a compressor, yes, maybe our sound effects will all be nice, and maybe you won't ever have to touch your volume dial. But then we also have to deal with the added issue of hearing Natalie every time she chimes in from another room in the house.
Joseph Barkley is one of the nicest people I've ever met.
Really?
Yeah.
Because he sounds kind of critical.
Fair enough. That's probably true.
Come on. Are we charging him for this podcast?
It was a helpful suggestion.
I pay for the equipment, and I think we're just fine.
You know, he speaks for 10,000 people.
Thank you, Jenny.
We have 400 listeners.
10,000 of them. Joseph Barkley is not letting listen to the podcast.
Who elected him?
He is representing more listeners than there are that listen.
So what you're saying, unless I'm correct, is that... Wait, that's not a right sentence.
What he's saying is that... If it's bad for him, then it's bad for everyone.
All right.
And you must change in order to accommodate.
Let's not forget you're a guest on the show, Jenny. So let's start barking. No, I'm just kidding.
What do you think the J stands for?
Gave me a look like I thought you thought I was serious. I'm like, no, I'm kidding.
It's okay.
I love you. I love you so much.
Okay. Dog will sniff your butt at all.
For a second, I was taking off my headphones. I'm like,
that's enough of this crap. Maybe if this show had a compressor.
Well, that'd be great. We should probably get one of those.
I don't even know. Those have to cost more money.
Nah, not much. I said I'd buy it. I'd say, you bought all this, I'd buy the
You're
compressor.
You're going to buy a compressor.
I will buy the compressor.
Not knowing how much it costs.
Yes.
What if I told you it costs $300?
I would tell you I'd find a cheaper compressor on Craigslist.
Then if we go cheaper, then it doesn't really compress anything.
No, what? No, it does its job. Otherwise, it's just a piece of material.
Here's what I'm saying. Yeah. Here's what Joseph Barkley needs to do.
Okay.
First of all, he needs to move on.
He's all only right? said it to me once.
I'm willing to go 399.
He's listened to every episode of this podcast.
I'm willing to go 399 listeners is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right.
He can move on. All right. But if he is so addicted and in love with us and the JK show, soon to be changed to another name.
Probably the Joseph Barkley Comedy Hour.
Good. I hope I can get booked as a guest. That would be great. Maybe we get some listeners for this show. Then he could call me, because here's in GarageBand, where I export it, there is a compressor that I put on the file.
Yeah, but it's a digital compressor. When we worked in the sound studio, we had compressors in addition to the digital compressor. We had a physical tube on every station that would record and compress. You don't remember that?
Yeah, but we're doing this on my dining room table.
I know, I love it.
Which room do we...
Listen, it's okay. You don't have to be defensive about your...
No,
this
am
is
defensive.
An amazing setup.
I know it's an amazing setup, and it's evidently not amazing enough for Joseph Barkley.
You got puffy black powder on the walls, making it look like a real sound studio.
She's right.
They don't know. It's the radio.
Cobwebs.
I like her take on the
theater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Give us more. What am I wearing?
Eminem is recording an album right next door.
That's your wife breastfeeding.
What you tomato?
Sorry,
tomato.
I'm very bad at this. Tell everybody who just walked in the door.
Oh my gosh! It's Rip Taylor. He's throwing confetti everywhere. Everybody leave.
Thank you, Rip. Thanks. No, I'll clean it up. Don't worry about it, asshole.
He's dead.
Hate Rip Taylor. Worst neighbor I've ever had.
Is he dead?
I think so.
Oh, really?
No.
So a ghost of Rip Taylor just walked in the door.
I don't think he's dead. I don't think I know who he is. Is he the guy that did the mayonnaise commercials back in the
80s? He was the guy that throws confetti everywhere with the big blonde wig.
I got that from the description.
I think he was on one of those Sid and Marty Krofft shows, like Sid and the Sea Monsters or something.
Wasn't he also a square on Hollywood Squares?
Probably
with Whoopi Goldberg.
He's the guy that I always get confused with Bruce Vilanch, I think. Like,
are these real celebrities?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, not real in that they people would go see them in movies because they're there.
Do you get them confused with Bruce Vilanch because they're both big, fat, blonde, gay guys?
Yeah, but one has a big handlebar mustache and the other one used to have a huge beard.
Yes, Rip Taylor has a big, huge beard.
Oh, okay, now I know. Yeah.
Everything paradox. Paradox blonde?
Paradox.
That's where a rift in time happens in his mustache because of the color of it.
You know, just would like to reflect. I think in the 10 years we've known each other, we've had two fights, and one is this compressor thing. So I just want to say, we don't don't have to talk about the other one.
No, I want to fight about it now.
No, you don't want to fight. I was in the wrong. That's why I'm admitting. You've won that one.
Oh, I was, did?
Yeah.
I'm going to win this one.
I was a terrible person. This time it's my turn.
To be a terrible person?
No, to win.
That's not a turd thing. That's just you being a terrible person.
I'm going to go.
See, now, if we had a compressor, then people would just hear you exhale there.
That's okay.
People hear you rub your beard on the microphone without a compressor.
No, that's because you all have to be quiet.
That's the sound.
But if the very idea of a compressor is that if I'm talking, it makes everything else quiet.
Joseph, are you there? He suggested it.
Here's what I'm saying.
Have him
send me an email, then maybe there's something I can tweak in the settings in the compressor. Because all I did was tweak it, and then I listened to it after I exported one of our episodes, and I don't know why I'm talking like I'm 12. <Me either>. Here's what just happened, is that I was doing it, I'm like, I kind of sound weird, and then you gave me a look. That's how I knew that I was like, yeah, I am doing it. So I just, he made
and by
me
the
a
look,
little...
I mean, I grew horns on my head. I was the horn guy.
Good one. Good then, one.
Yeah, you like it? Yeah. Oh, the room is filled with chocolate milk. Yeah. Oh, they're going to drown. Oh, there's a piranha made of Oreo cookies. See, we have a compressor.
We have a compressor.
We hear Natalie screaming obscenities at her 9-month-old son.
Oh, for those of you that couldn't hear it or aren't in your car, because we
don't have a compressor.
That's what we should do. Listeners aren't paying for the show. Put a compressor on there.
That's
you compress the show, bitches.
I don't think it works like that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I take that back.
Get a subwoofer.
Or turn it up. How about that?
There's another audio turn.
God forbid you.
Have you been lost this entire time?
When you talk about sports, when you talk about this technical stuff, I'm just like...
You knew about who was in the Super Bowl. I thought you were on board.
Because I know like a Jeopardy version of facts.
Oh, got it.
Like, you know, just the basics so that I can seem really smart and stuff.
This team won the very first Super Bowl.
I have no idea.
Oh, you had
1967.
How was the year of the answer?
That's me. That's me buzzing in.
Yes.
Oh, yes, Justin.
Oh, that file's way too long. Watch.
That's how it is.
Took it in. Yeah, who are the Green Bay Packers?
That is correct. The board is yours.
All right. I'll take next subject for anything at all.
It's a Daily Double!
Best of this game.
Very similar.
What is SOS?
Suck it, Ricky Kent. I got the Daily Double. What was else I was gonna? Oh, I think that was it. Never mind.
You were talking about the names of the side.
That was.
Crap.
Oh yeah, he's sidetracked. I had this idea.
We have been successfully having three conversations simultaneously.
I think we're doing a great job. Yet, I think Nick and Adriana would be happy.
Yeah, that's good. And Darren Yalaki and his.
He doesn't listen anymore.
I don't think he ever listened. Actually,
yeah, exactly.
I think I just told him about the show and he critiqued.
This is what I think. You know what that sounds like to me, JB.
What's that?
Joseph Barkley.
Ah. Should have seen that coming.
I'm going to call him JB from now on.
The JB action.
Just bad.
Different than just kidding.
Just bad for my ego.
Oh, that's true. I think you do a great job.
Thank you.
Look at your shirt. I'm going to take a picture of your shirt.
Oh, my shirt.
You guys don't start making out now.
I am not making out with him.
That sounds more like I'm flating you.
Sounds like you're eating a Werther's Original.
Very similar. I remember when my grandson came by.
Did you grow up here, Jen? Right?
I did.
You were born and raised here in Los Angeles.
Santa Monica.
Santa Monica.
I'm a West Side baby.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice. And do you still live out there or no?
I live in Century City.
I don't know where that is.
That's like south of Westwood.
Near
Fox.
That is.
It's still out there. Yeah.
20th Century Foxes.
I don't know where that is.
Do you know where Rancho Park is? Cheviot Hills. In that area.
Area? I know where an area is. 51?
Like between Olympic and Pico.
Pico.
Oh, gosh. Where's Pico?
Oh, wait, Olympic and Pico, the streets?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm good.
Between
now.
There. Yeah.
All right, good.
Now and do you like it?
It's great.
Why is it called Century City?
I think it was.
20th Century Fox?
It was originally built as a. Business park area, I think, because where the mall is and where all those buildings are, those big tall buildings on Santa Monica was. Oh, I just went
turn around the city. That's okay. You can hit it.
I hate you.
I guess I could have done that to my own mic.
Yeah, I was gonna say, why are you hitting her mic?
It was funnier.
It's off-putting, I think. I guess
You don't mind
with it. I don't care.
It was some kind of industrial park built in the 1970s.
Was it hard playing like hide and seek with all that traffic around and stuff, or like what
in
kind
Santa
of
Monica?
Yeah. Oh, that's right, in Santa Monica. Or good 2 weeks ago. You don't play hide and seek now? What's the matter? You lost the kid inside?
Yeah,
you?
I play it inside.
Tell me about your mother. No.
She hit me. It burns.
I can't have fun without crying.
No, that's I'm actually, because we make fun of me a lot on the show because I grew up in Modesto, California, where Kevin says that only cows live.
No, cows and you and George Lucas.
And Scott Peterson.
Oh,
never forget. Too
finally
soon?
Something to be proud about in my hometown. So what kind of things do you do for fun when you grow up in Santa Monica?
Oh, we went on bike rides around the neighborhood all the time.
Did you go to the beach a lot?
Yeah, we went to the beach. We belonged to this place called the Sand and Sea Club, which is where they ended up closing it, and they filmed, you know, the on Beverly Hills 90210 when they went to the beach.
Is that a show?
Yeah. That was the beach.
What's the punching me part?
That was the beach where we went.
Ian Ziering would punch at Jason Priestley's face.
Oh, that's right. Oh, yeah. Clever.
It's like the Friends. Do.
Right. And then they did that.
Did you have like a similar this makes me feel like after school Nickelodeon type show where you guys
I did
you
drugs on the beach.
No, not that part. But really, that'd be awesome.
No.
I had to wait till college till people did that around me. I didn't participate.
You could say till you did drugs. I was like, whoa, wow. Find some second, Jenny.
This changes everything. Because you knew me all the way through high school through college.
Like, what?
Wait a second.
I met you right after you kicked heroin.
That's in the cool. face. Guy named heroin.
Literally.
That's how you kick it in the face.
You're like, oh, take it, heroin. Oh, was it you, you won't that learn recently? Anything.
No, it was, never What's mind. It was, I think it was somebody said literally, and then they did something that was, you I think it was you for last week. Yeah, you said, was it on the show?
I don't know.
This is
it sounds familiar.
Here's what I was saying before, was is that I was wondering if you and your friends ever had like a situation where there was a homeless person that you were afraid of, like, you know, like a Mr. Crawley type character on Scooby-Doo, like kind of thing, like that was like your arch nemesis.
Well, in Santa Monica, there are a lot
That's
of
homeless
people.
That's what I mean. People. Yeah, yeah.
I never befriended any of them or got, you know, close enough to want them to not, you know, come at me with a baseball bat. Not really. The promenade wasn't built, I think, when I was growing up there. It was sometime in the 80s.
But the boardwalk was there, yeah.
Yes. Yeah, yes. So we went to the boardwalk. We went to the, like, there was a carousel.
Right. Yeah.
I don't think the Ferris wheel was there, but the carousel.
They just redid it. They put LED lights on it now. You can see it from space. The thing lights up and does all this ridiculous stuff.
It's like what they did
at
the Eiffel Tower.
Yeah. You can see the individual Ferris wheel from space.
No, I'm being sarcastic. Oh, okay. But it's that bright. Okay. And it does all these cool patterns.
I thought there was some kind
totally
of marketing.
I totally believed you.
Yeah, I thought there was some kind of marketing. You could see it from space. I'm like, hold on. Los Angeles is a very bright
The only man-made structure you can see from space?
The Great Wall of China.
Both. Nope.
Didn't buzz in and put it in the form of a question. What is the Great Wall of China?
Both incorrect.
What?
Both incorrect. You cannot actually see the Great Wall of China from space. You're seeing the ridge line. Because the Great Wall of China is only 10 feet wide? There's no way you could see that. What you can see from space, you both look incredulous at me right now because you're probably...
That's what they told me in school.
Well, you see the ridge line that the Great Wall of China, so you can actually mark where it is, but you're not seeing the Great Wall of China because it's not physically...
What do you mean the ridge line? I'm not sure.
It's built on the ridge.
Oh, on a ridge of a mountain.
Of a mountain, yeah. So you're seeing the peak of the mountain.
So you're seeing a natural occurrence... But it happens to coincide. Like, for instance,
if somebody built a seaport on the coast of California, the entire coast of California, you'd be like, well, there, I can see it.
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
yeah.
You just see where the continent stops and the water starts.
Okay. What can you see from space? Is it in the United States?
It is.
Really?
Yeah.
The Space Needle?
No.
That's barely...
I was going to say Mount Rushmore, but there's nothing. You can't see a face from
You're on the the correct side of the continent, though.
Oh.
The west side?
The north side.
North.
The border.
No.
The Canadian. You can see the lines that the states make.
Yeah.
Was it the 38th parallel or 39th parallel? I'm watching the President series right now. The history. I'm serious.
I've watched that, too.
I love it. My dad told me about it, and I think it's the 39th parallel. Isn't that what it's called? The border between Canada. Is that what you could see?
Nope. It's in Las Vegas.
Stratosphere?
Nope.
Las Vegas?
Yep.
No. The entire city.
The entire city. There it is. It's the only thing that would actually, I would believe, but no, that's not.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought I guessed right. Yeah, I was like,
the Luxor.
The Luxor is correct.
Yay! Really?
Yeah, the Luxor.
It's like a big green light.
Do you see the light? Because the light that shines on top of the tower is so bright. When it was originally built, it was actually creating more problems for the atmosphere because it was burning a hole through it. Or so the green house specialists say.
Have you seen the Life After People thing?
Yes. We talked about that last week.
Yeah.
Oh,
we need to go watch this.
Because they were...
I've seen it.
I haven't.
They were talking about Las Vegas, and I think the Luxor will survive because it's a pyramid shape. And
except for that it's glass.
Well, yeah.
No, but I think it was the erosion. The
current pyramid.
My favorite part of that series was that they were saying the skyscrapers in New York would be like a high mountaintop cat haven. Like all the cats would live in there and feed off of the birds that would come in and fly in.
Fascinating.
And they have these...
What's the premise as if humans just suddenly disappeared?
If we just disappeared, it's kind of like a mass event, like whatever would have taken out the dinosaurs.
A disease
Is all the power off? Do they talk about that? Like,
no, they say, yeah, no, what it does is it starts like, it goes almost like by event. So it's if mankind ceased to exist as of
right now,
so many hours later, we're gone.
They even do like 5 minutes after people. Like,
this would already start happening. And they do it each event. And I think I need to watch this. It's so many months or years or something like that, that they would say that the power would cease to happen because like right now, all of the generators and stuff, for the most part, they work self-sufficient.
So dogs could figure out how to plug stuff in. But
no, that would never happen. It's just the way they say it is that things would just all of a sudden shut down because the actual turbines and the generators for electricity would not be maintained.
Eventually.
All of the foofy, fluffy dogs would die probably within the year.
They'd all find each other and create a tribe.
They talked about that, I think, in that thing, too.
Wild dogs would survive because they have their, animal instincts.
I think Rocky would survive.
But the kind of, the dogs that wouldn't probably, I don't think they mentioned this, but were, the kind of froofy.
Yeah.
I thought they did. I think that they...
The kind of dogs like Paris Hilton would have.
They talked about how
domesticated... They're trying to live in purses.
Yeah.
They talked about what kind of dogs, domestic dogs, would turn into packs. Like,
see, I think Rocky would figure it out, though. I would believe he'd eat these cats
survive.
In the neighborhood.
He's the kind that I think would.
He's a big dog, such a pansy. But he's smart. I think he's afraid
of cardboard boxes. Not afraid of coyotes. Have I told this story on the show?
No. You need a coyote every night for dinner. You need well.
We went up to my parents' cabin for Father's Day weekend, and Rocky, sometimes when we'll let him to go to the bathroom or whatever, he'll run off and be gone for 45 minutes to an hour in the woods. And
what could possibly go wrong?
And then he'll just come back. And then he took off this one time, and he started to come back, and then Natalie was calling him, and then he was up at the top of the hill, and then he saw something and started barking and took up. And it's so quiet up there, you can hear boo, like that's his bark,
Hound dog bark.
So I go up the hill after him, and at the top of the hill behind my dad's property, there's like a little road that they have, and they have the, like a water tower, like tanks for the water for the whole park community. And then there's this opening, and Rocky's sitting there barking like crazy, and about 20 yards out in front of him is a coyote that's just staring him down. Now, this is, to me, is the entertaining part of the story, is that I'm coming up behind him, I see the coyote, and the first thing that pops into my head is, do coyotes hunt in packs?
Yeah.
And then the second thing to hit me was, clever girl. Because of Jurassic Park.
Right,
he's hunting the Velociraptor, and then he looks to his left, and then there's they surrounded him. Because it was like an alleyway of clearing, so literally there could be dogs on either side. So I stopped. I just froze there and waited to see if dogs would come out and attack Rocky, because... If there was
and
more
they figured
than one
out
dog,
how to open up doors.
Yeah.
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 And as long as
like
they...
Like velociraptors.
Exactly.
I had to go back and change the doorknobs to something that they couldn't do.
Right.
My mind is made up that I was just going to leave. If I saw multiple dogs, I'm like, well, I'm out of here. That's enough of that. And Vayan con Dios, Rocky cost $80. You can address those letters from PETA to Justin.
Ooh, are we having Greek food?
Ooh,
pita bread.
There's a new pita place right up the street.
Really? Is it Pita Hut again?
No. I don't think so. Do you know what it's called, Natalie?
Pita Fresh.
Pita Fresh.
Let's go.
Right now?
I'm out.
All right. Well, that was fun.
I turned my mic off and said something witty.
Anything else that you want to plug, Jen? Oh, speaking of which, we could do it now. This would be a good transition for some
Is
talk.
Skype on? Do we have Skype guests,
too? Oh, no, we don't. I don't have it on.
Gotta
just in case
on.
Somebody wants to call. And I think we do actually have a voicemail.
Well, let's listen to this and turn on Skype.
Yeah.
Not in that order.
Jen does songs. For those of you who don't know, because we didn't get too much into the history, Jen and I were in Sketch a Sketch, which was like the grad... welcome to the show.
We just started recording.
I wish I would have said, welcome to the big show. But anyway, we were at Sketch, which was the grad like sketch group at Second City here in Los Angeles, and she did some great songs that were original songs that she wrote called Pity Fuck was one, and what was the other
one? Menstruate at Night.
Menstruate at Night.
What does that mean?
It was a song about like why I don't menstruate at night.
Oh, now I understand.
Yeah. called Menstruate at Night for short.
My favorite part of watching this was that was watching the reaction of all of the ladies house, and then watching the guys in the house
slink.
Like no, they some, well, most for the most part, guys laughed at it, like the way that you know people like someone like me might laugh at a Shakespearean comedy. Like right. I would be like, I don't know if what I think is supposed to be. Or no, this is a better example for people who listen to the show. It's like when I laugh at Jordan Rose's references.
Mm.
I know I should think they're funny. And it's funny to me that I should think that they're funny, so I laugh.
Nice.
Like, there was a time when I would just laugh because I'm like, oh, I should think this is funny if I'm going to be smart. Ha, 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 ha. Now it's funnier to me that I have that reaction, and that's what I like. But anyway.
Bull Moose Party. Bah.
Exactly. So they were more laughing because they felt like they should get it, even though they didn't get it. But which one of these? You said, do we not want to ruin the title?
Yeah, play the one where you don't want to ruin the title.
The one? Okay, that's the one. Okay, here we go. Let's see. Do we have this up? Yes. And there it is.
That's so sweet.
Yeah, I know. It's a love song, I'm guessing.
This could I'm only playing this piano.
Yeah, this is her own piano.
Oh.
On the ivories, as they call it.
I think.
Yeah. Wait till the end to make my point.
Or just different situations where someone would see a camel toe, all sweet and loving.
I love it.
What kind of cut of a wedding dress would allow that to happen?
I don't know, but that sounds lucky, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you author this song?
Yes.
Nice.
So here's, I know.
Uh-oh. Not during the verse.
Oh, now it's on the baby shower. Uh-oh.
This is all the same girl? She needs an operation.
Yeah.
A gold watch at their baby shower.
It rhymes with crotch. Give me a break.
Maybe you should join Joseph Barkley's podcast, Captain.
I think he has one.
Oh.
I recorded like little overtones.
Oh, that's you?
And our podcast is in stereo, so they should be hearing those camel toes moving around like
that. Oh, good. So you're in different ears.
Yeah.
Modulation. There we go.
Nice.
And it's suddenly seen.
guy that has fallen in love with her.
Yeah.
There it is. Camel Toe by Jenny Tabor. So here's what I was thinking.
The big time.
Is I know more of what a camel toe of which you are singing of looks like than I do an actual toe of a camel.
Wow. Probably me too.
Yeah.
I thought I've been around camels.
Why don't we Google that?
Ooh, I don't know if I want to Google. Which makes me think of another.
That close.
You're gonna get a Britney Spears picture.
Which makes me laugh because when I listened to last week's episode, you had me Google Flaming Moes, which I think if I didn't put that E in there, would have returned a nice little list of things to look at. And I didn't even catch it until I listened to it a second time, where I was like. I even said, you want me to Google Flaming Moes? Like, and I was more angry that you want me to find a theme song from a Simpsons. Like, I was sitting there going, like, that's just going to come up as the first thing that comes up, you know? Mm-hmm. And sure enough, there it was.
There it was.
That and some Flaming Moes.
I would like to, I don't want to test this personally, but it'd be an interesting test to see how strong the Google safe searches are to, like, you know, make sure that the parent
off.
Brock... Well, turn it on, pervert.
Go to search by images. Pervert. See if you get, you know, actual camel.
And type other words like
camel
kitty. Or
toe. Oh, wait. Oops. Helps if actually... I thought I was on it. All right. Camel. Oh, it's giving me suggestions already. Camel.
What's it suggesting?
Cambridge, Camilla Bell, Camp Rock.
It has no idea what you're into.
Camelback.
Cambridge.
Cameron Diaz, Camel Spider.
Ooh, those things are creepy.
Camel Sniss. I want to know what a camel...
My brother played with them when he was in Iraq. They'll kill you.
If you write the word camel space, it gives you Camel Spider, Camel Sniss, Camel Cigarettes, Camel Back, Camel Crush. Camel Toe's ugly cousin.
What's that?
Let's see.
Is that a
and
banana?
Then there's a camel toe, as in like towing a car.
Oh, clever.
Let's see.
Is the ugly cousin like a banana hammock?
When you do Camel Toe's ugly cousin, it's Camel Toe pics, no nudity. Page 3, anabolic steroids.
Yeah, those aren't camel's toes.
Yeah, let's see.
Camel's subject possessive.
Oh, yeah. These are all like bikini shots of the thing with which you sing. I don't know. Why am I not okay with saying camel toe? We just heard a whole song about it. Camel
and
toe's
okay,
sister.
Cause
I want to know camel toe fanny pack, what that is. Oh, that's like a song on YouTube or something like that. It looks like that was fun.
Oh. Another camel
toe
song.
Would you said what? I thought it was one of our sound effects that just played, and I was like, I shot a look at Kevin, like I was like, how did you do that? Because it didn't sound like you. Like what? I want to make. Speaking of which, when Christian called in and there was this nice little pause,
right.
I find it where he goes delightful.
Oh yeah! Oh, that was
sarcastically.
So funny.
Yeah, it was good times. Good
delightful.
Times. Good times.
That was funny. Do we have Skype interviews?
Nothing
on Skype.
We have no voicemails. It is just us hanging out, chilling, marinating, saturating.
Yeah, yeah.
Rip Taylor's back. Oh my God!
He's out riding a camel. Check out his feet.
There was some kind of story I was going to tell.
Was it about doing Sketch a Sketch with Jenny?
What
do you prefer, Jenny?
I was part of the Cunt Show as well.
That's right. That's right. Well, that's where people might remember her name, is that when we talked about it with Cynthia Shitworth, which she will ever be known as in my eyes.
Till you meet her parents.
Even then. I would say Google her. That's what I would say.
We're not falling for that, dear sir.
When they raise their eyebrows at me, I will say Google her.
Excuse me?
And then I will bust out my iPhone and do it for them.
Oh, iPhone. Dang. I thought you said your iPod.
My iPod.
I'm going to bust my rhymes.
It is both. Indeed.
What?
Yeah. So in that story, Jenny was the one who I called the cunt in the show.
Oh.
Her character, I should say.
And then I told the stage manager, enough is enough.
Hey, kill the lights
on
this.
Kill the lights, 11 minutes.
This is out of here. This is dumb. I'm offended.
No, but it was a good reason, which I didn't remember until you just said that I was playing a child molester.
Right. Child molester was okay, but the C word wasn't.
That was my whole point with the whole thing. I was like, really? Okay. I didn't.
The word.
It's such a weird line. Like, I had, what was it? Oh, that was, this weekend I was at Pepperbelly's, and the comic that was doing a guest set, David Liu, who I think is a listener, he's coming down to LA. Ooh, should have him on the show.
All right.
So anyway, David Liu told a story about crapping in his pants when he was a kid. In school, and he went on right before me, and then I said that I give what was it? No, I said I punched my baby in the face, I think is what I said. And the crowd got weird. Like, yeah. They were like, oh.
He might be serious.
And I was like,
he
yeah.
looks angry.
Yes.
And unsettled.
I go, wait a minute. I go, he can tell a story about crap in his pants, but you get offended by the fact that I'm going to punch my baby. One of these is really not real.
did you back off it, or did you, like, go for it? Like, yeah, I punched my baby.
No, I wish. I think that's the lesson that I learned this week, is that I think that I worry. Like, here's what happened. I had a night at one of the shows where there was, like, maybe 20 people there. David Liu went up and did, like, an improv set of 5 or 7 minutes or whatever. And then Sean P, I was like, oh, and the crowd was loving that he was just riffing. And I was like, you know, and I could do that. I mean, my background's in improv, but I just didn't feel like working this night. I'm right. like, I just want to go do my material and have you be happy with it and leave. And the so then Sean Peabody, who was the host, did this hilarious bit where he was just talking to some lady in the front, and she was like, he goes, why are you so skinny? And she's like, I run, you know, to look good, or like she said. And he goes, well, then run your ass out of here, because I don't want no chick that runs. He goes, you know, I'll get a fat chick, because I can catch her. and he did this great act out of there, like, all right, you got me, you know. And it was killing, and I'm like, oh, now I got to go up and riff with the crowd. So I'm doing all this stuff. And then at some point, the crowd turned on me, because I bagged on the city of Fairfield, I think. And I was like, or no, I mentioned the Punchline, which is a competitive comedy club, which I thought was hilarious that the patrons of this Pepper Bellies club were like, oh, you don't mention a competitor.
They're loyal.
Yeah, well, everybody's not from Fairfield in this crowd, too. Like, there were people from Vallejo. It was weird.
How dare you?
So I go, what? I go, let me. And so then I started going off on the club. I go, I'm getting paid shit money on this gig. Like,
nice.
I go, if you want to. And I said this at the end. I go, probably too much. I go, but this is the most honest I've ever been on stage. The most. Right.
Really?
Yeah.
You've been pretty too honest before.
No, well, this is where my point is. All the stuff I say about my wife and all that stuff, like, yes, that's very honest, and some people might say too honest, but to me, that's funny. Like, I think that's not heavy.
No, there's a difference. Sorry, I don't mean honest. I mean vulnerable. There have been times when you've been too, like, you give them, like, secret keepers. You give them too much about your soul.
Soul, and then, yeah. For this, in this case, I gave them that. I lifted the mask of performance and gave them what is probably the closest thing to the real Justin that Natalie sees on a daily basis. Right in
you
front.
You started
of,
yelling at them and calling them the C-word.
I told them that I said "F you" to some of them. Like,
wow, nice.
Yeah, it was. Well,
did they take it like Natalie does?
The girls did. The girls thought it was funny, but people went, "Oh!" Like, that was the reaction that everybody kept having.
That's
to
the
me.
Kind of like I'm supposed to be offended. Kind
yeah,
of, like,
I think so, and I just don't like it. I'm like, because the way it went down. I was like, hello, like literally walked on stage and I was like, hello ladies, how you doing? Very beautiful ladies. And boo. And they just sat there staring at me, and like they just sat there, and I looked back at them and I go, acknowledge that I'm talking to you is what I said to them. And then they just stared at me. I'm like, habla inglés, what the hell is going on? I go, what, you think just because you're pretty ladies that you can't talk to me? Or what, you think you're better than me? You don't think I didn't go through this in high school? I know what it's about. You know what? Fuck you.
Wow.
Nice.
You're on stage 8 seconds.
Exactly. That's how it went down. So,
what were you thinking in your head? Like, now this is the pace of the show. There goes all my material about being a good husband.
I threw, at that point, like literally, something triggered in me where I had a lot of frustration built up from the week already. And so I vomited all over them. I don't think it was unhealthy for them. Like, they still got a good show. There was a lot of people laughing. But it's one of those situations that I learned about myself is that I do that, and in the moment, I love it. Like, there was a group of about 9 black people in the back right corner of the house, and then there were a group of 4 white people sitting right in front of them. And they weren't laughing at one point. And I said, I go, what's the matter with you people? Why aren't you guys, are you guys not having a good time? What's your deal? I go, is it because all the black people are sitting behind you? And the whole place went nuts. And the black people, like one guy was banging on the table.
Out of laughter.
But the people sitting in front were not laughing. Yeah. They were like, they tensed up. And then I continued. I go, you guys are tensing up more now because in your minds you're thinking, well, we can't turn around to see if they're laughing.
Yeah.
You know, or they go,
nice job.
I go, they're tensing up because they're like, oh, I can't turn around because unless, I don't know, the only way I'll know if, what did I say? The only way that I'll know if they're not laughing is if I can't see their teeth. And then everybody went nuts again, you know, and everybody was fine. And then the show actually ended with me, like, they told me, Darren told me to stretch because So funny. He wanted a cup of coffee. So I did 10 minutes longer than what I was supposed to.
This is behind the scenes of comedy.
And he's in the back of the room stretch. And I thought he wanted me to stretch because they wanted to see how long. I'd already gone basically 25 minutes at that point.
Oh, wow.
Without, oh, it's weird. When I thought you said stretch, I thought you meant like, you know, stretch your legs.
No.
Really?
Yeah.
He was doing yoga, downward dog.
Because you made this hand gesture that was like taffy.
Yeah.
Well, that's the signal
for
stretch.
Yeah, I get it now.
Now.
Totally.
What if I started, the hand signal was lunging? Like I was just doing.
Yeah. He was actually stretching in the back.
Yeah.
He was physically stretching. And I thought he meant,
was limbering up for his set. And I thought he meant go long.
Yeah, Justin's doing the splits right now.
I like Sean Glon Van Damme. On my counter, I'm doing the split.
His hair's on fire.
Ah!
He's trying to cut off your head with the chainsaw.
He's in a clown suit.
Yeah. I know the timing of this is horrible because of so much that has happened, but this popped in my mind. Is Sean Claude Van Damme dead?
I don't think so.
Okay, never mind.
No, it's just everybody else.
Your baby's trying to kill himself going into the kiddie hole, though.
Yeah, he'll be fine.
See you later, kid.
That cat will throw
it. Underneath their water heater is a little cabinet where they let the cat live, and the baby is crawling inside there.
Oh, that's our bed. No, that's where the baby sleeps.
Oh, where does the cat sleep?
In her room. The cat has a room.
You're hoping that your baby is going to be...
You see all the stuff we're putting for the cat in her room? She's got like a little cage that she can...
I thought that was for the baby.
No, that's a cage. Is that what babies are supposed to sleep? I don't know. He loves that little hole. He gets his
food.
You're
an old landlord now. Remember how crazy she was?
She was
Justin had a landlord.
Her kid like was like 8 years old and wanted to be a cat.
Well, it's because she told her that you want to be a cat.
Oh, that's what she did?
Don't you think? Like she gave her cat ears and was like,
you want to be a cat, don't you?
Yeah, exactly.
I think the way it went down is that the kid decided to do something that would get them attention and then it worked and then mom didn't say, you know what, this is not okay. Because the kid was like 12 years old and then wearing cat ears and a cat tail that you would get on Halloween.
Yeah, and walking around.
And had multiple kinds of them. Like
every Halloween?
No.
Every day. Just that she didn't have an imagination for Halloween. She was it every day.
And my other favorite part is that there was like a common area in the apartment complex on the second floor, and on one of the benches, she set up like this piece of construction paper, or maybe it was like a pillowcase or something like that, and then she would like kind of half-ass crumple pieces of paper into like circles and things, and then she would try and sell them to you as jewelry.
Paper?
Yeah. And so I remember the first time.
You were supposed to hang it on you?
The first time I saw it, I was like, I thought she was just playing pretend, like she had a store.
Oh, right. It's the kid, not the landlord.
Yeah, no.
That's what I kept saying.
No, the landlord. I'm sorry.
I would see that.
It was a 42-year-old woman running our apartment building selling paper jewelry.
So while you're here, maybe you could pick up some nice bracelets for the missus.
So I came up to the girl, and she was standing next to her, and I go, whoa, this is a wonderful set of wares you have here. What is it? What is it that you have? You know, and the kid looked at me like I was bat nuts crazy. And I said, I'm interested in your jewelry. And so she shows me this stuff, and I figure I'm playing along because this kid had nobody to play with. I'm playing along, you know, I'm doing my thing. And then I go, well, I think this one looks pretty. Like, how much is that?
Oh, no.
She goes, she says it's $1.25.
Oh, okay.
And I said, oh, okay. And so I did like a thing. Like, I wasn't even really going to take her jewelry, but I was like, all right. And I pulled out of my pocket, and I handed her an empty hand.
Uh-huh.
And then she goes, there's nothing here. Like, she looked at me like I was stupid. And then I go, oh, you mean like $1.25? And then she was like, she goes, yeah, $1.25. And I go, oh, I'm sorry, my mistake. I thought that we were pretending. And she goes, what? She looked at me like I was insanely stupid. So that was my interaction with this bat nuts
crazy
kid.
So come back and create your own dollar. And give it to her for the fake jewelry.
That's 10 times better than my idea.
She's 12.
My idea was to buy actual jewelry and to try and set up a shop across from hers.
No, that's pretty good.
I like Jets better.
But that's dedication. Like, to go out and get a card table, get some jewelry, sit out.
Like, I was going to go to the dollar store and find a bunch of like dress watches that women would wear.
The fact
like
that you would know, however you did it, just the visual of a grown man sitting across the quad trying to sell real jewelry as a competitor to a 12-year-old.
And I just think you're thinking the whole time, oh, yeah. Look what I can do.
That's like a Pixar cartoon waiting to happen. That's hilarious. And
my fear is that I was going to ruin her if I did that. But anyway, so to get back to her thing.
I think that her mother took care of that.
Yeah, exactly. Her thing was that she would wear, her mom let her, and she would wear cat ears and a cat tail every day to school. And she had like 7 different kinds.
And she grew up to be a slut.
We don't know that. That's the
jury's
still out.
She's probably 15 now. That was a few years ago.
Yeah, because she was, and the...
So we would know.
So we could find out. Yeah. Let's get her on Skype.
And her grandma did not like it, and like, because she was...
Because she was a normal person?
Me all these stories about how hard it is to raise kids, because when Natalie was pregnant, we were still living there, and so she was... This is when she divulged all this stuff to us. And my favorite thing was that she goes, my mom says I'm crazy for enabling it. And I said, there's one thing. I go, you're just letting the kid dress up. I go, that's something that's going to go away. She goes, well, my mom doesn't have a problem with that. My mom doesn't like that I put her food in a bowl and let her eat it off the floor. And it was, you know how you have that moment where you don't really know somebody, and so you're like, you're trying to like go, well, okay, but I mean, and I'm desperately searching
for a way out and say, well, maybe she's right.
Like, I didn't want to say that because
that's the difference between you and I. Because I would.
She had also called me about like something with her boyfriend or something.
That's right.
She'd had an hour long conversation with me about it, because she called and goes, hey, is Natalie there? I go, oh, no. I go, Natalie's at work. And she's like, oh, okay, well, I'll just call back later. I go, well, this is actually my cell number, because that was the number we gave him for the apartment building. Mm-hmm. She's like, oh, okay, so this isn't her number? I go, well, no, it's my cell number. I go, did you need Natalie for something, or was there something wrong? I thought she was calling about rent or something.
Yeah.
She goes, well, I just needed some, you know, you're a guy. You could give some, would you mind giving me some advice?
Sucker.
And here's how it went down. I went, oh, well, she goes, because here's what's going on. Like, and then she just launched into this whole thing about
suddenly
how
on a radio college,
she's afraid to commit to this guy because he's younger than her, and it's all about sex with him, and like way too much information that you should hear from your landlord. Like, I don't understand.
And he sees my camel toe, and he's really callback.
So yeah, speaking of callbacks too, is that getting back to that thing, is that when I was at Pepper Belly's, they had the I did this show where I went off on the club and all this stuff and everything, and then immediately following it, I felt guilty. Like, I just I felt sick to my stomach, kind of. I'm like, and that kind of ruined the rest of the week. It was the second show Saturday, I think, is when it was. But it's just kind of like, I'm like, I just hate it when that stuff happens. Mm-hmm. And I think it would make me, I don't know yet, but I think it would make me a better comedian if I was more comfortable with that stuff. Like, if I could just go, this is what it, like what you're saying, just own it and go, this is what it's going to be. But for some reason, I always, like, in the moment, I like it, and then afterwards, I hate it. I'm just like, I feel like a horrible person. Because that's the thing, I think, why I do clean, or try to stay clean, like I didn't, and that's obviously in that show, but is because afterwards, even though like I curse in my regular speech, and I love shock humor,
right.
For whatever reason, when I'm performing, and this is the other thing too, is that like, I don't know why I didn't feel guilty about that cunt show. Like, I don't know.
You shouldn't have that.
Yeah, but why? What is it that makes me think, like, when I'm doing, saying stuff bad about a club that's
because
all true?
I feel that you knew most of the audience at that show.
No, I didn't.
Yeah, you didn't.
Oh, this show. I thought you were talking about Pepper Bellies.
No, I knew two
people.
Well, in Second City, the thing was that it was supported by everybody on stage.
That's and you
true.
Were paying for it. Yeah, you weren't alone. That's a good point. And you had every one of your teammates.
It was only the people maybe in the audience or working the lights that were judging.
Or the one working the lights.
Or James Mastriani's grandma.
Grandmother.
Yeah, she was the one who was really offended.
You should have signed to her so she could know what was going on.
No, but I heard somebody say, like, they talked to James Mastriani's grandmother afterward, and she loved it or something.
Well, the word that I got was...
That would be a great story.
Make that the story.
Yes.
The word that I got, but this was also from Mike, which I think might have also been why he reacted the way he reacted, is that she was like, she told James or something, that she goes, like, I don't know if this is the kind of shows I want to come see. Like, so she was basically saying she wanted to come and see James do Second City because she thought that was the show that she would see, kind of thing. So,
it was a great, great show, and anybody that wasn't there missed it.
Yeah.
So I've wept many a night in thinking about it.
That was...
I regret everything.
That was a cornerstone show.
Yeah, right.
Was it really?
Everybody remembers it.
We literally were talking about it 3 years later. I mean,
still, this is like the third time we've talked about it.
There are like so few shows that I remember, and that's one of them.
That's what I do.
That's a good point. I think back to Comedy Sports. There's probably a dozen scenes that I still remember from when we did it.
The one I remember is the dirigible one.
Yep.
With me, you, and Michelle.
That was funny.
We did a scene suggestion was dirigible, and
what does that mean?
It's a blimp.
Air blimp.
Oh. Yeah. So Kevin and Michelle were they were like,
too,
we're
going to
take like a trip or something like that. Yeah, superhero, you're right. Because
you were a super villain, yeah.
And so anyway, they were talking about how they just done this whole thing with this their dirigible or whatever. And I come running in and I get in it and I go, ha, 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 you'll never get your dirigible back. And then I turn the wheel and I just slowly, like, because it's a blimp, I go, ha, 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 ha.
And it was a great build because you actually That's awesome. Several of those laughs before myself and the audience got what he was doing. Yeah. Like, oh, it's slow because it's a dirigible.
And then Michelle, and then I exit the stage, and then Michelle and Kevin grab a rope
and just pull. That's right.
Pull me back, and I go, ah, and I cried as they pulled me back to ground.
Oh, that's true. See, now that's funny because I remember more now that I look back. I remember more workshop scenes that I did, like scenes where. It was the first time I think you developed a skill. Where you're like, oh, that's how this works.
Yeah,
no. Then I do like actual shows that we were doing for.
I remember Mike Inouye, the Asian comedy sports player at the
who
time,
who is now on NBC or no, NBC.
NBC,
3.
Yeah, he does he's the traffic mm-hmm. on the morning news show.
Yep.
Or all day? Does he do all day?
No, it's just morning.
Does he make up traffic?
Yeah, he's like, sure. There's an accident somewhere in my pants. Okay, back to you, Mel.
He lets people write in emails of suggestion to where traffic should be.
Exactly, and then he does scenes.
Great 405. Okay.
In Northern California. The 405. We don't
even say that. I remember him doing a scene about a flower shop where he was the owner and he had the famous line of, "You want metal?"
Oh, yeah.
That was like cracking all
That was so good.
Yeah.
It's good that you have those experiences, though, as a stand up, because I think you probably learn. You know, what you want to do and what you don't want
to
do.
It's frustrating. Right now, I was actually going to say something to this, is that right last week, I was kind of mad at myself because I forgot. There's a lot of things that are in the pipeline right now that could really change my career. And I was very, like, appreciative, and I wanted to, and I still do. I don't want to sound like anything's changed, but I'm trying to figure out what creates this, like, you know, peaks and valleys, you know, feeling for me. I don't know if every comic goes through it or if it's just me, but, like,
I would bet it has a lot to do with your home time. Like, if you're stressed here at home and you're running out of time, I bet that bleeds into your performance just like anything else.
A little,
and because you don't have a director to help keep you on task, you are your own director.
Yeah.
I imagine it lets you kind of spill into areas where it probably shouldn't.
Because I'm my own director, it adds stress to me. Yeah. Like, because it's hard for me to work now, being a stay-at-home dad.
Exactly.
But, like what I was going to say is that I really like doing this podcast. Like, I think it's fun. I like that people like it.
400 people.
Yeah, and then it's growing. And I'll be honest. Is like, this is what creates the valleys in my head. Is that I want it to be bigger. Like, I can't. Yeah. I don't want to sound unappreciative to the people who do listen or who do enjoy all that.
Tell 10 friends.
Exactly. For me, it's like I want it to be a big thing. I want it to be successful. I want it to be ranked in the top 50 at iTunes. Like, that's the kind of stuff that I crave. And I think, well, how can I make that happen? How can I do this? How can I do? And the reality is, I think it just takes time, and that's what I'm not good at.
Just keep doing what you're doing.
Exactly. And then, but so then
you're
have
so these, encouraging. I know. You're an encouraging friend.
I'm a positive person.
Well, that's great.
So there's this thing that, you know, and I think I talked about it with you guys, but I don't want to jinx it, but there's this thing going on with, you know, that could really work out to be really nice. And this all could be in my head, that it's like, this could change everything, but in actuality, it could all happen the way I want it to, and then nothing could
unless
happen.
We just say it right now. No. Some guy walked in with a contract for you to sign to have your own sitcom game show. It's the first ever sitcom game show.
It's a fake intervention.
Yeah. The podcast. And he's got 1,000 puppies.
I gotta feed those dogs.
Don't worry, he has 1,000 things of food, and they each live in the bags of food. He just dumped them in here with buckets of water, make our own New York style pizza.
I'm swimming in pizza.
Oh, there's pizza piranhas in here with chocolate milk.
Made.
I'll use Jacob as a steering wheel.
That's my son.
See you later.
I'm getting way slowly in a blimp.
I don't know how to define dirigible in Latin.
You were on Showtime, and I thought that was like awesome.
Yeah,
I did too.
That was your peak. You peaked.
You know, Remember when you were on top?
Remember 2008?
Yeah, that was great. My second
2007?
Year in. Well, that's the other thing, too, is that I think the part that I am unfair to myself is that this is only... I'm what, two-thirds, I think, or a third of the way through my third year of doing stand-up now, like, professionally. And so, like, the stuff that I have accomplished is a big deal.
You're ahead of the curve.
I need to be more patient. And I think what also helps is that I still feel like I'm struggling with my voice. Like, I was even talking to my therapist about it, where it's like, I don't feel like I have a voice, but he tells me, he goes, well, you do. He said, it's you. It sounds to me like you're very defined in that, you know, you're a family man, blah, 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 you know, that stuff, you know. So, but then it's like, I get caught up in these things where it's like, I have these instincts to want to, like, do nothing but crowd work. Like, I just want to talk to people in the audience. But then at the level that I'm at, I can't really do that because you can't do that as a feature because that takes away from the headliner. Plus, if talking to the crowd becomes your entire show, it's really hard to get television. Yeah. Like, you can't, because there's nothing to submit.
I saw a comic that did that, and he was like a professional comic.
Yeah.
And I saw him on two different occasions. One, it was a good show. The other one, it was terrible.
Yeah. That's what Howie Mandel does when he's out on the road.
Yeah?
That's all
he just does. Crowd work?
He just does crowd work.
It would be so much fun for me, I think. Like and I have done it at college shows, and it is a good time, but there's also the bar is much lower than at, say, like a club or something. But so, yeah. So, anyway, I was on this big high, and then I come back from this week at, you know, Pepper Belly's, where it's kind of like... And I don't know why. I mean, the shows were okay. I didn't sell a ton of merch, but I think it's just that I wish I was at a higher level. I don't know. I don't know. Now I'm making this whole thing way too serious and heavy again.
I think if you think about it, like in the big picture, it's really hard and overwhelming to think about. But if you just focus on what you're doing right now,
I don't want to sound like I'm unhappy about being a father, but it's hard to being a stay-at-home dad that I can really only work 2 weeks out of the month because then we're taking away too much from Natalie being gone. And it's hard to book. It's hard to, you know, to get yourself booked and to write and everything.
But I think for the people
to be the father or a husband
at the same time.
Else,
the people that it comes too easily to, they don't appreciate it as much.
Yeah.
And they become kind of...
You're building character, kid.
I want to be wealthy. They kind of become dicks, you know?
Yeah,
I expect all this to come.
That's what I think about Britney Spears, is that when you're 20 years old and you're told that you're amazing and brilliant, you end up like Britney Spears.
Who was it that was telling... Was it? There was a documentary recently about somebody who literally became an overnight hit.
Susan Boyle.
No. It was...
Susan Sarandon.
Somebody who wrote a movie or something. I have it in my Netflix queue.
Diablo Cody.
Bob Dylan.
I'm gonna look at my Netflix queue.
Billy the Kid.
Tell me, because there's a documentary. I think it's like called 24 Hours or something like that. And it's like this guy.
Oh, I think I've seen that. It's about like the Saints of something.
Boondock Saints. Yeah, the guy who wrote Boondock Saints.
I saw that documentary.
Is that the one about the guys living in front of the Chinese theater?
He became such a dick. He had written this movie and got the opportunity to direct this movie. Mm. And he was working with Miramax or something and had this big deal. And because he was a dick, it totally like got ruined and fell through. Mm. And his career is nowhere now. This was like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
I
thought I added it to
But it was like this big movie that I think it had William Dafoe in it. And
yeah, no, it was a big... I think it was directed by Quentin Tarantino, wasn't
it? Wow.
Oh. He directed it.
Okay.
He wrote it.
It's
and
a big.
It.
I know. I haven't. I think I've seen it once. It's like, but it's like a Quentin Tarantino style movie, and that's real gory and like, you know.
I want to
see that because somebody. I can't. Oh, this is gonna.
The Boondock Saints was the name of the movie, but the documentary is something else.
I wanted to say it was somebody told me. Oh, you know who it was? It was Josh Feimster.
Oh,
he was one I think who told me about it, and I can't now. I can't. I thought I added it to my Netflix.
It was like a dick that goes awry or something.
Is it on your digital queue?
No, it's not. You're right. That. No, maybe it is on my instant queue. Good call, Kevin.
Well, you know.
It's like the ups and downs of Hollywood or something.
The ins and outs.
Overnight, yes,
Hollywood.
It is on my...
Overnight.
You're welcome.
Overnight.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yeah.
Well.
Lose Yourself in this Rivian documentary that chronicles the rise and ignoble. Is that right? I-G-N-O-B-U?
Ignoble.
Ignatius.
Ignoble.
Inimitable fall of Troy Duffy, a bartender whose script The Boondock Saints was picked up by Miramax bigwig Harvey Weinstein and made into a film. Like a freight train careening out of control, the arrogant Duffy, once considered Hollywood's newest wunderkind, burns all his bridges, alienating his colleagues, his friends, and his long-suffering brother Taylor.
How do they do a documentary?
The idea was it was going to be behind the scenes or the making of.
So and
they,
it ended up being
he had friends of. I don't know if it was. I think it was. Yeah, it was his friend was taping him and like all of this stuff happening. So it was going to be like the making of the movie. And then what it turned into was a documentary of, like, look at how much of a douchebag I am now.
Well, it's like there was this one scene I remember where he was trying to get Kenneth Branagh to be in the movie.
Cool.
Something like that. And he was, and it turned into, like, if I can't fucking get Kenneth Branagh, then I'm fucking not doing this. He was like, Kenneth Branagh won't call me back. He's such a douche. I hate him. I don't even want him. That was one of the scenes.
See, I want to be that guy because I think no matter what happens,
you want to have a soul.
I'm saying I want to have that opportunity because I think no matter what happens to me is that I don't have it in me to be that much of a douchebag. I don't. I think I'm nice to everybody I meet. You know what I mean? Like.
No, but I don't think so either. But you never know; these people are weird. They become weird.
Yeah, well, I've heard horror stories about going over to Winona Ryder's store. How do you pronounce her name?
Winona Ryder.
That woman.
You said it right every single time.
Every time.
Yeah.
Really? It felt wrong in my mouth.
This is just so you know, like what is what happened. You said, "What is it? Winona Ryder? Winona Ryder's? How do you say it? Winona Ryder? Winona Ryder?"
I kept hearing me saying Renona Wider, so I think my headphones are on too tight.
All right.
I've heard when you go over to the house, she'll throw things at you. If you don't know her or not, that she'll just throw things at you.
Where'd you hear this?
I think it was from
Renona
her.
Wider.
Yeah. She's like, that woman, Wider McWider.
I wonder what happens if you Google Renona Wider. I'm just curious.
Did you mean Cynthia Shipper?
That's what I hope is about to happen, because that's going to be awesome. Renona Wider.
Yes.
That's a porn star.
Yeah, I know. That's what I just thought of. Like,
oh, man.
Renona Wider. It says QBN Clint Eastwood. Previous note. Oh,
must be a real person.
Movie library. How to make an American quilt.
Okay. That's
Renona Wider?
She's in How to Make an American Quilt. Winona Ryder.
But I thought it was Winona Ryder.
Yeah.
It's her name.
Did they list her as Renona
Ryder?
Yeah,
it's Rinona Wider.
That's a spoonerism or something.
Yeah, like it says right here, How to Make an American Quilt, Renona Ryder, PG-13, 1995, VHS, Hunt, and then it says Hunt or Red October, Sean Connery. I think this is like a third grader's movie library.
Clearly on the wrong website.
Singapore Sleek, EPL soccer site, soccer betting info site, Renona Wider, nude pics, Jennifer Esposito, rubber crown, molding, Chloe Hurst, the club, Orlando gay tour, dating.
What are you reading? This is just random words.
I think it's like, it must be like something to try and get people to come to the site.
You put the meta tags.
Well, guess what? Don't go to this site.
Yeah, and teach them. Don't click on it.
Too late. Let's see what it is.
We should listen to another one of Jenny's songs.
Oh.
Be good.
Which one should we listen to, Jenny?
Small Hands.
Do you want to take a break, Kevin? Is that what you're saying?
I imagine we're near the end.
No.
Really?
No, we're at 110.
Oh.
I mean, we could be at the end.
Are
you done?
I'm just saying.
Are there any anecdotes that anybody wants to tell? Or do you feel done, Jenny? Do you feel like, this is what we really want to know. Do you feel like you had a JK experience?
Yeah.
Or do you feel jilted?
Tell us a story. My internal chronometer. I thought we were at 120 on the dot. That was my guess.
No.
You have time for a 10-minute story.
I could not possibly tell a 10-minute story.
Really? Justin could. He did.
I'm no JK.
Killing Angel.
Up
top.
I'm trying to think of what.
I'm trying to think
of
like a Second City experience that we've had or something in common.
It's like, hard because all of them have ended up being like kind of weird now because like the space is new, like you know, like
oh okay,
you know, like all that stuff is it's kind of gone downhill for me.
I
like,
know the
you don't do shows there still, do you?
Or I don't.
Well, how come? Just out of curiosity.
Well, I stopped doing the regular Tuesday shows because I was just burnt out. I was just done. I had gotten all those. I wasn't improving. I just kind of peaked and plateaued, I felt, like, with what I was doing. And
did you peak or plateau? Those are very different
things. I peaked, and then I plateaued.
So you spiked and then kind of leveled off just below the spike?
Yeah.
And then
I think I little
you must slid.
Here.
Oh, you're on a downward slant.
It's good that you plateaued on a peak, though.
That's better than plateau on the...
As opposed to a trough.
Yeah, or a canyon. You know, like, if you plateau on a canyon, that's
sedimentary
a
rock,
to live.
Limestone. Kevin, I'm talking geology with you.
Did you take a geology
Mesas.
Class? Mesas. Those are plateaus.
I did. So, crystalline methods. That's my rock.
Stalagmites.
Stalactites.
I love how you're doing the glossary portion of a test in geography.
Sedimentary rock.
Stalactites.
The theory of uniformism.
What is that?
Well, that's the theory that states the Earth behaves now as it always has. It's a theory.
Behaves. Does that mean like the Earth could be put on a timeout?
What
does that
mean? Yeah, put in the corner. Meaning the gravity has always worked the way it works now. That the sun has always been where it is.
I'm always curious about that whole thing. Like, I think it's kind of stupid in my opinion, but like I had these teachers that thought they were like new agey, and they would say, well, you know, it's still just the, even though it's a law, it's not completely proven that gravity exists. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they go, well, you know, you could drop an apple, right? You could drop, or no, their example is a pencil. I could drop this pencil, but we don't know without a shadow of a doubt that on the 1,000,000th, you know, to the 10th power, you know, time I drop this pencil, it doesn't go up.
They're fighting the wrong battle.
Yeah, that's why I'm against scientists.
See, you could fight the theory of uniformism because there is no way of knowing that a billion years ago that it didn't fly.
Yeah.
There's no way.
They believe
in negative entropy in like the looking glass or something.
Yeah. I don't know what even what
like
that
where
means.
People,
yeah,
where
you're saying words
up.
That aren't real.
Our minds are now clear.
Oh, the door just opened up, and out came Dracula
through a looking glass.
There's a rabbit made out of chocolate.
And he's got that guy that used to travel with Sam that had the little beep beep beep.
And
beep,
I'm stretching. You mean Captain Jonathan Archer, captain of the NX-01A, the first Enterprise launched out
of
Earth.
Scott Bakula back to Star Trek. Well done.
Son, his head grew to the size of this room.
And we're inside it podcasting. I'm touching his first memory.
Well, this is like a seventh grade science class.
What is his first memory of?
Wario. I don't even know you guys had that.
Well, in that Life After Mario. People thing, they seem to think that, or they theorize that everything goes back to the Earth. So, like, all the buildings will collapse, and they'll just be, like, you know, Earth.
So steel is on the top of the ground instead of the middle of it.
And Earth will just take over. Like, it'll be fine.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, what's the message there? Please stop existing, viewer. Like, if you ever wanted to commit suicide, do not watch this program.
If you want the Earth to go back to its natural state, you do not live. You procreate.
That's what's funny about that. When I watched that documentary, all I kept thinking... that I was insignificant.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, wait, like, and
pretty
I just,
much.
I became frustrated with the fact that I paid for this. Like, I'm like,
right.
I pay for cable and I buy the products that advertise to fund the show that says you're insignificant. Like, I'm the most, I'm a
and
big
then you went out and voted.
I'm a big piece of what made this show.
Right.
I'm more significant to the show telling me that I'm not significant.
Well, that's what I think about old people when they watch shows like Numbers or CSI, where people are being chopped up and shoved into barrels and buried underneath houses. Like, who wants to watch these programs? Why would you want to tickle this part of your brain?
I like
when
the CSI
when
that shows
doesn't
a lot.
Exist.
I don't know why.
I mean, it's all fake.
What's that?
Well, it's a show. It's all fake.
That's true.
Yeah. So that doesn't exist anyway.
Oh, you're blowing my mind. I thought those were documentaries.
CSI, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it's
It stands for really real.
Fake shows based on real.
Unless they say this show is fictional and not based on any.
Isn't that every show? I need to pay more attention.
I don't watch CSI, but in front of like Law and Order SVU, they say like this show is fictional, and then it's about Kaylee Anthony.
Yeah. Like, you can clearly see the headline that it's about.
Yeah.
Ripped
and
from the headline.
It's like Chevy Chase calling someone, what are you, a Jew? Like, I know what that is. I know what that's a reference to.
The Peter Scotsman story, based on a non-true story.
Yes.
They live in Flodesto.
I kill my wife, Macy.
The Nicole Jacksons.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a typo, really. That point.
I want the writers to come in and be like have no idea that that's what they're just
doing. Yeah, exactly.
I wanted to, you know how like sometimes you think of an idea and then somebody's like, oh, that's that other thing.
Yeah.
Oh, damn it. Like, yeah, I want all of those shows to be somebody who's sitting in a room and going, I know what
like
I'm
that
doing.
Episode of South Park where the Simpsons did it.
No,
Simpsons
I didn't.
So you just thought of it?
You just did the thing.
I proved your point with
the thing. You did the thing with the thing with the stuff.
Yeah, there should be a TV show, but there
you
was.
There was one.
That's not how that was supposed to go.
Was that supposed
to be our ending music, but somehow it ended up being Darren Carter's.
Oh, I thought that was a previous episode that we were suddenly listening. Remember earlier today when we were recording this?
We just looped it. That would be a great New Year's
Eve.
I'm an idiot. I said, that would be a great New Year's Eve joke.
I thought that was a real thing. I'm like, do we do New Year's Eve jokes now? I wanted to do New Year's Eve jokes. You know, we had a Christmas party last week.
How have I
not talked about this?
No, that's up.
I, you were invited. Did you not look at the Evite?
I did look at the Evite.
Why didn't you come? You were gone.
Yeah,
I was
waiting. I'm like, I didn't come because the whole, I don't know, 30 minutes ago when I was talking about how my life.
Anyway, back to me. So we had a Christmas party.
Are you saying there's not enough K in the JK show?
Right now. You're killing it by not letting me get some more in there.
I'll show you killing it. All right, that's been our show. Oh, now you're not happy. You don't care. That's not fun at all.
I was admitting defeat.
That
was me rolling over on my back and peeing.
I know.
On myself. I said, you win.
You sucked the fun out of it.
Who doesn't love peeing on themselves?
I love peeing on myself.
We had a Christmas party. Now ask me about it. Say, why did you have a Christmas party?
Why did you have a Christmas party?
We thought it was funny. So we had
It's not even July.
I know. We had it 6 months before Christmas to the date on June 25th.
Oh.
So we had White Elephant Gift Exchange, and we had Christmas. And I actually lost track of time in one moment where we had the air conditioner on, so it was cold because it's June. And I was holding.
Where did you have this at?
At Emily's house.
Okay.
I had a plate of holiday food, and so the smell of spiral cut ham, and their candles were playing, and there were Christmas carols on the box, and the plate was just decorated like Christmas, and I lost myself. For one half second, I actually thought somehow I'd fallen through time and that it was Christmas. It was very.
It's weird because when I was.
What brought you back? Just out of curiosity.
Nothing. Just the fact that the moment, like a dream, like, wait a second.
Like,
okay, no.
Like,
yeah. No, this is something you're doing to yourself.
I went out to dinner with my family, we were driving back, and I saw all these lights on in people's houses. I'm like, is it Christmas?
Right, yeah.
I had the exact same
moment.
Feeling.
You're like, wait a minute, did I lose half a year?
Yeah. There were just all these lights. I was like, why are there lights on?
I've been here before.
Where is it?
You know, somebody told me deja vu is like your brain being on a delay from what it sees from your eyes.
Oh,
like
that's interesting.
Yeah.
That's what deja vu is.
Or when it goes from one side of your brain to the other and it takes like a split second.
Yeah, there's like a slowdown.
For me, it's when I'm remembering a dream where I saw the future.
Here's why this is really funny.
Here it comes.
No,
you go. Yeah, I know what you're gonna say.
No, I know you don't.
Okay.
Let's find out.
Go ahead.
Stop talking. What I was going to say. That was your theory of deja vu when I said that. And so I was setting you up to go, I told you that, and go, oh my God, I'm having deja vu.
Oh. No, I didn't think you were going
to
say that.
Here's what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that I think it is hilarious that he thinks it's a skill that he can lucid dream.
I can lucid dream.
That is a skill. I wish I could do that.
It's not a learned skill. Well, it's kind of a skill. It comes from lots of improv and lots of nights having coffee in the middle of the night.
I'm so frustrated in all my dreams.
That's not what it takes to hone a skill. Wait a second. I didn't know it was just
that. The truth is, the reason why I can lucid dream is because when I was 5 years old, I was plagued by nightmares. And I remember my mother telling me, you control your dreams. And then it was a breakthrough to not have to be dealt with these nightmares, to be able to wake myself up from them. And I think over time, I've learned to completely control them.
Well, if you're starting when you're five,
I have had lots of practice.
Awesome.
It's gotten really good. I can actually repeat things and then be like, I want to see that again. And the whole dream will start over again. It's great. You're
going
to be like, I'm crazy, Justin.
I still think you're crazy because I don't understand how this is great. You realize how little of your life you spend dreaming?
I do it a lot now. I spend 12 hours a day sleeping.
I'm jealous.
I guess you're right.
I wish I could do that.
Do you dream in black and white?
No.
Because he dreams in color. Are you writing an album right now?
Yes. Those were lyrics for my new singer-songwriter project.
I dream in music.
I dream in emotion.
I dream in auras of feeling.
I bet you could do it. You just decide that you'll do it.
No, but I try to do that in my dreams.
You decide before you go to sleep. You say, tonight I'm going to lucid dream. That's how I do it.
Whenever,
if you don't want to learn the skill, don't take the class.
You're the worst motivational speaker ever. Here's the expectation. Meet it.
Do it.
I'll take $20.
I tried before I go to sleep to decide we're going to dream about nothing.
Really?
That never happens.
That breaks my brain. Like, that's how it works.
I just dream about something else. Something else that's not
I can
thing
revisit.
That I dream about.
I know where
your problem
dreams.
Is that you said I try and you should do or do not. There is no try.
$20.
Oh, you just stole Yoda.
No, you said that it costs $20 if you set the expectation. I was doing your joke, but I was doing it, but you were doing a Yoda reference, so it was a little different joke.
Oh my God, I'm having deja vu. All right, guys, that's for the JK Show. Kevin has his forehead in his hand.
I regret everything.
Kevin is spent.
I'm done.
Jenny Tabor, everybody.
Thank you so much. Thanks, guys.
Do you have any shows you need to plug?
Oh, that's right.
Oh, well, I'm in a new improv group, and we're, I don't have the name of it yet, but we're performing at the IO Black Box July 31st.
Great.
It's a Friday.
New Year's.
8:30.
Cool.
July 31st?
Oh, wait, what day is this?
Today?
It's not December. We told you.
I'm having deja vu. Are we going to roll out with a little bit of her stuff?
Oh, yeah, we can do that.
Let's end it.
What song do you want to hear? I'm playing.
Small Hands. That was
Small Hands.
Oh. I like the Sabbath, too.
All right, we'll do this as an interlude.
And then we'll all just say, okay, bye, again and again until it's ready.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
Did you see the music of ABBA at the Hollywood Bowl the other night?
No.
They were just there.
I saw Mamma Mia when I came to L.A.
The musical or the...
The musical.
The guy making pizza.
I did not see the movie.
Why not? It had what's-her-face.
Meryl Streep?
No. Okay.
That was more abrupt than I intended.
No, it was good.
All right, enjoy Small Hands by Jenny Tabor, and take care. Thank you guys for listening and making the show. I feel like I should talk about this.
Yeah. Thanks for listening to
the JK. Please tell your friends.
Yeah. Me too. I'm also sexy. Here. I'm talking.
Okay, bye. Okay, bye.
A folk song, so what I say is sad but true. Should probably play it on guitar, piano never do. But I got limitations that I'm trying to overcome. These tiny hands, tiny fingers, tiny thumb. I got small hands, I got small feet. They don't do much. I feel incomplete. Don't know what to do with these small limbs. So I guess I'll just go and play these keys with all my tiny soul. Now the Chinese, they like tiny feet, so I guess I could move there. I couldn't play the pipa, but I don't have a care. You might ask how come this girl can't reach across a fret. My hands stopped growing when I was 5, and they got bigger yet. I got small hands, I got small feet. They don't do much. I feel incomplete. I don't know what to do with these small limbs. I can't kick boxing, I can't bowl. So I guess I'll just go and play keys with all my tiny soul. Teensy hands can come in handy, reaching inside a hole. Can fish out the pick from a guitar for some big-handed asshole. Can steal ice springers from a vending machine. These skills can't be ignored, but I would give anything to play a Hendrix chord.